Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. This is right after Jesus was baptized. He comes out of the water. He hears the voice of God say, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Can you imagine trying to tempt Jesus? Like, "Hey, Jesus. What would you tempt Jesus with?" I don't know. But here's the devil, with all the audacity that the devil has, tempting Jesus. It's right after his baptism, and apparently, this is an interesting part. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, I get led into the wilderness quite often. I'm usually trying to catch fish or invite small woodland creatures home for dinner or something. Go for a little hike. The wilderness for me is this fun place. I'm not too adventurous. I don't do things that are too crazy out there. I don't climb rocks or mountainsides in the middle of the wilderness or anything like that. But it is a fun time. But biblically speaking, the wilderness is not this place of recreation like it is for me and perhaps many of you. The wilderness is the setting of so many dangerous, harmful encounters. The wilderness is wild. That's part of the name. It's a wild place. It is not a safe place. It is a dangerous place. And yet the Spirit leads Jesus out there with apparently the intention that he will be tempted by the devil. It kind of reminds us of the story of Job, where God and the devil, this tempter, have this wager almost of whether or not Job can be persuaded from his faithfulness to God. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, which, by the way, if you've been paying attention, is one of the areas, one of the reasons Lent is 40 days long. Did you make that connection? You're smart people. I know you did. 40 is this important number in the Bible. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights after the ark was built, Noah's ark was built. Moses, this is probably a deeper connection to Jesus. Moses is on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights before he comes down with the Ten Commandments. One of Matthew's goals is to connect Jesus with this image of Moses. Moses and Jesus fasting up in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards, he was famished. I can't go but a couple of hours without eating. Have you tried it? I get hungry. And my belly starts like, oh. I just want to eat something. Have you ever gone to the grocery store hungry? Madeline learned that one yesterday. We were at the grocery store. We were just going to get some ice cream. And we're walking past the bakery. She saw the donuts, little chocolate muffins. And she's like, "Oh, I want those. Would you rather have those or ice cream?" "Probably ice cream, but those sound really good." It's like, "Yeah, they do. So I can't come to the grocery store hungry." Jesus is famished. It's been 40 days, 40 nights. He hasn't eaten a thing. He has fasted. And that's when the tempter comes. That's when the devil comes. And before we get into these temptations, I think it's important to remember the conversation that Christians have had since the very beginning. This idea that Jesus is in fact one of us. Fully human, fully divine, that's kind of where the lingo goes. Jesus was 100% a human man. This was a debate early on. Jesus did a lot of amazing things that regular people don't do. Jesus was fully divine, fully a part of who God is, but also fully human. And it's important to remember that. It's important to understand that as we read along of Jesus' temptations. If he's not fully human, all that cute little story I told about Madeline being hungry, me being hungry after a couple of hours, doesn't mean anything. Jesus, completely human, fully human, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, truly, genuinely famished. And so when the devil shows up and says, just turn these stones into bread, then you can have something to eat, that was actually a temptation for Jesus. It wasn't something so easily thrown aside. Jesus was truly, sincerely hungry. And how easy it would have been to turn this stone into a loaf of bread. I wonder if Jesus would have turned this stone into some of Rose's bread. That's how good that stuff is. What kind of bread? But Jesus turns down the temptation by turning to the scriptures. All throughout these three temptations, Jesus answers by quoting scripture. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth. Jesus articulating here that it is not only our bodies that need to be sustained and grown, but our spiritual minds, our souls, our relationships with God. There are things that only food can do. We have to have bread. We have to have food. We have to keep our bodies safe and growing and fulfilled. But that's not enough either. We must grow and be sustained by our relationships with God, by our relationships with one another in the community of faith, by those words that come from God, the scriptures, our interactions with people. These grow who we are as people as much as our bodies grow. And I think this is an important thing to keep in mind when we start talking about mission work. You know, there's smarter people than me have pointed out that you can't change a person's mind until their belly is filled. If someone's body is deeply famished, if there's something that they cannot get right with their body, there's no sense of trying to fix their heart or their mind. It is important to feed people who are hungry. It is important to clothe people who do not have clothes. Give folks clean water to drink when their pipes are dirty or some railroad accident happens. It's important to give people what their bodies need. But it's also important to feed their minds and their hearts and their souls. You can't do one without the other. But we ought not focus on one more than the other as well. So the devil's like, all right, that was round one. I got more tricks up my sleeve, because it seems like the devil and the tempter always has more tricks up his sleeves. And he takes Jesus and puts him on the very pinnacle of the temple. This vast, I've never been to Jerusalem, I've never seen the Temple Mount. But I would imagine, as I understand it, it is this populous place. A lot of people around. Very prominent thing up on the pinnacle of the temple. And the devil says, well, if you're going to quote scripture, I know a few verses myself. Throw yourself off if you are the Son of God. For it's written that God will command his angels concerning you, and they won't let a single thing happen to you. Not only that, but all these people around will see you. Jesus is fully human, right? How great it is to be recognized. How amazing to have all of our dreams come true with people recognizing us. This is the thing about social media. Social media is great. It allows us to connect with one another, to worship online. We're able to FaceTime. I don't remember the last time I actually saw my parents face-to-face. It's been a while, but we FaceTimed just the other day. It's amazing. Our technology is great. Social media allows us to connect with people. We're reading four Psalms a day with 50 people watching along by the end of the week. It's great. There's also this temptation of social media that maybe one day I'll get famous. I'm going to go viral. Even with Madeline, those thoughts are in the back of her head. Maybe if we do this one thing, enough people will see it. She asks about the views. She's 7 years old. She's asking about the views. How many people have seen this thing? And I'll admit, it's tempting. I make a video. I want to say something funny. In my mind, I'm making all these. I'm writing scripts in my head so that the post will go viral. I've got a pretty funny TikTok. I don't actually want you to go out and look for it, but it's pretty great. There's some good stuff there. Maybe the right people will see it. I'll go famous. But Jesus is tempted with this notoriety. How easy it would have been for Jesus' message to get across if at the very beginning all of the religious center of everything saw angels carrying him up after falling or jumping or whatever from the pinnacle of the temple. How easy it would have been. But Jesus says, no, we're not going to test the Lord. It's also written, don't test God. Part of having faith is this understanding that God will be there. Is it really faith if you've got an answer? I used to get myself in trouble. This was back when I was married. I don't know why I'm talking about the divorce so much. But it was my job to take the garbage out, right? And then I was going to take the garbage out, but then she said, why don't you take the garbage out right before I was about to get up? So then I can't take the garbage out anymore. You know what I mean? I was going to take it, but now you'll never know. It's not faith if it's tested. Will God lift up Jesus and protect him? Will the angels come and attend to him so that his foot doesn't bash a single stone? If you test and find out, it's not faith. And having faith is the question throughout the Gospels. Jesus heals people over and over again simply by having faith. Their parents having faith, their friends having faith, their faith makes them well. If you test God, it's not faith. So finally, the devil pulls out his final card he thinks is going to win, and he takes Jesus up to a high point in the mountains and shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, all this power, all this control. The devil says, I will give all of these to you, and all you got to do is worship me. That's a pretty good exchange. Lay down, bow down one time, worship you, and all of everything will be yours. That's hard to turn down. What are those game shows where they open the doors and stuff? You can have what's behind this door, or all you got to do, maybe there's something better over here. People take it all the time. How easy it would be to worship the devil one time. For all the kingdoms of the world? That's a good deal. It's a good deal. And Jesus, in all of his humanity and his human self, I have to believe was tempted. What's he here on earth to do but to change this world? How easy it would have been, having already had control and power over the kingdoms of the world. Not only that, but all the splendor of the kingdoms too. How easy it would have been for Jesus to complete his mission. what he's come here to do if he'd already had this control and this power. But Jesus recognized the price that it would come with. Power gained by worshiping the devil truly is not the power that it promises to be. And so Jesus rebukes Satan for the third time and tells him it is to worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And finally, the devil leaves. Suddenly, angels come and wait on him. He's brought back into this closer relationship with God, having passed these temptations, having turned down the temptation of food and prestige and power. I like to say all the time in Sunday school, I'm glad I'm not Jesus because I wouldn't have been able to do it. I'm telling you, a couple of hours without food, and if I could turn a rock into a little piece of bread, I'm going to do it, especially if it's a good piece of bread. To be recognized, to have power, those are things that tempt us all from time to time. But I think if Jesus' example is anything, it's the faithfulness of relying on God, the trust that is in God, and the recognition that the sacrifices we make to the wrong power are not worth it. And so we spend our time preparing to meet God, to serve God, and to worship God. Amen.